flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best part of that is, what you guys couldn't see is, Katie came in for the 6 o'clock dance party,
yeah,
and she brought in a disco ball, and all of a sudden, the dancer started heading up towards the studio. I think she might have been stopped by there, but it was just instinctive. You see, it was just, she saw the disco ball and just went right into a nice little routine.
Oh, yeah, it's for my birthday.
Kick, turn, kick, kick, turn.
Mac, did you kick him out? What happened there?
I guess they saw Keith and thought he was the bouncer, so
that's
I don't know.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, good. Okay.
You can't go to a rival club. Everybody knows. You dance on your own stage there, okay? That's how this goes. I just want to talk about that, if we're being real.
I know you do. I know you do. I want to give you that green light. I'm going to McConaughey and red light this one,
light.
Though. I'm going to McConaughey.
Right,
we got
but
a red
you
got to
say it like McConaughey.
Yeah,
red... Ha, ha, ha.
Stop it. I'm going to sound like you doing whatever that was.
I'm going to need the McConaughey red light.
Ha, ha, ha.
I'm just gonna keep doing it.
It's just not gonna happen. It's
right,
just not
Mac,
gonna happen.
You're gonna have to give us a
Mac. Can you do it? Can you do the McConaughey red light?
Not
a yellow light either. We need a full.
What do you think your name is, Bubbles?
Oh, jeez.
No.
Oh, it's for my birthday.
Jake, you're the producer. You got to stop this at some point. All I need is a McConaughey
well,
red light.
Someone please give us a McConaughey.
It's all in your power to do this at any point. If you want to,
I don't have it in me. Yeah.
Easy. Save that later.
He's talking down.
Oh, it's for my birthday.
All right, we're gone.
Any one of you can stop this at any point.
Your boy took a pounding.
I just need McConaughey.
We're in a McConaughey stalemate right now,
this
okay?
This is a McConaughey standoff.
It's a red light on the McConaughey.
Nope, not going to give it to you. Not going to do that at all.
No, that was an attempt.
Yeah, nope. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't attempt it.
And no, you didn't.
I'm saying it's a red light on McConaughey
no,
at this point.
No,
right now.
Because you didn't say red light.
Jake, I'm going to need you to give me a red lights here somewhere.
Yeah, you're going to need to.
Jake,
because
crack the mic for the first time in 3 months.
Otherwise, I'm going to bring Cinnamon up here, and we're going to go ahead. I'll just start doing play-by-play on whatever the best of you can see at your local club later today. Nobody?
Delicious. Oh, it's for my birthday.
Mac, this might have been your finest work. You've called my bluff.
Yeah.
Hot damn. There ain't no beating this.
So how about the Cavs?
How about those Cavs?
They're good at basketball, man. I've been saying that for a while.
Are they going to win for your birthday?
Footwork.
Oh, it's for my birthday.
Right up there with Cinnamon's footwork. I mean,
oh,
really, there's
it.
A gracefulness. There's a... I mean, we got into the Darius...
You seen the Bontemps clip going around?
Is the writing business so bad now that he's had to get on the pole?
No, Daddy's back.
You said footwork. Never mind. I guess you haven't seen the clip.
All right, coming to center stage now. You know him by his professional name, Tim Bontemps, but his name is Heavenly.
Daddy's back.
Oh, it's for my birthday.
So,
yeah,
we got into the Darius conversation about Darius and how much credit he's going to get.
Yeah, you'd
whether
be serious
he's gonna be an all-star.
Now. You take a serious take out of that.
Red lights.
Red lights.
I got it. I think it's interesting because I was thinking about your biggest question mark because you've said a few times when it comes to the Cavaliers that one of your you just want to see it in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and I realized. That I think for a fair amount of people, Darius in the playoffs might be the biggest question mark they have left about the Cavs.
I think it's a combo. I think it's Darius. I think it's also Jared Allen in there as well.
Which is wild. I don't have any questions about Kenny Atkinson. Everything that he's done in the regular season is absolutely transferable to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's a coach. I think it's a little bit different.
Well, no, you never, okay, I shouldn't say you never know.
I mean, I think in the NFL we do this. In the NFL, it's because the coaches are so hands-on, and we really, you see NFL coaches shrink in the playoffs.
And so, but I just don't see that happening with Atkinson.
It's just not really a thing in the NBA the same way, though.
And again, like, one of the reasons why I was, I guess you could say anti-JB was, the things that JB did really well in the regular season do not translate into the postseason. In the postseason, it's can you draw up, or can somebody on your staff draw up the perfect ATO, right? The well-timed ATO, right? What do your rotations look like? Right, and rotations don't just mean the same seven guys.
You wanted to wonder what we got with Atkinson. I am wondering what he's going to do as far as his rotations are concerned, because people are wondering if he's going to bring 10 guys to the playoffs.
Yeah, see, I think, okay, so I don't think
they're
playing.
I do wonder about that.
But I don't think they're playing 10 guys every night, but they're going to play 8 guys. But it might not be the same 3 guys off the bench. And that's another thing that I think you can take away.
He's going to, if they lose these games in any sort of way, that I think that's where people are going to criticize the most, because you do have 10 guys that, you got 8 spots for 10 guys.
I would honestly be surprised if he played 10 guys a night in the postseason. Just knowing how
it works.
Right,
but that opens itself up to criticism, though, because then if he actually does play 8 guys and doesn't play the 10, then it's going to be, well, why did you play this guy in this spot? Why'd you play this guy in this? Like, he's open to a lot of criticism in a way that most other coaches don't have. Like, the Boston knows who their 8 are.
But I think what's interesting about that is, if they lose, he's going to get criticism for doing it. If he wins, they're going to be like, man, you played the right 8 guys. You know what I mean? Like, to me...
Yeah, probably. That's how it works.
Unless it's in a situation where your 1 through 8 is just so much better than anybody in your 9 through 15, most of the time, like, yeah, you're going to have a night where George Niang gets minutes, and it might not work, but that's exactly the right thing you should do. You're going to have nights where maybe you do throw Jalen Tyson out there and see if his length can kind of give you some help there on the perimeter. Like, that's another feather in the cap of why I think JB Kenny will absolutely answer every question for me in the postseason. But it's wild. Like, it's still not just Darius for me. It is the physicality. It is, if you're constructed as you are now, I thought you did an adequate job against Orlando. I think a team that was incredibly small and missing their best player, who's not a physical guy, but their best big, I thought they pushed you around way too much in that Boston series.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Jared Allen comes in the equation, right? Just the other day, Şengün beat him up.
Yeah. I mean, literally beat him up. He was allowed to get away.
Accosted him, and that's fine. It was what it was. But that was all game long. And he was just getting shoved around and pushed around. And it's the same thing that happened in the Knicks series. And then obviously last year he had injuries through parts of it. But like the Wagner's getting after him in the Orlando series, it was these things do translate in a way that I'm interested to see how it shakes out.
But I think so. Physicality is a big thing, and here's why. There's only one way it could become Darius for me. Because I'm going to give Darius, or I'm going to try and give Darius some slack in the playoffs if every night he's not out there dropping 20, 22, 23, 24 points per night.
Yeah.
Because the context, it's going to be hard with the way teams can throw 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", 240-pound, 215-pound, incredibly athletic wings at you defensively. I have to grade him on a curve. And this isn't to call them out and say, you better trade for somebody. No. But it is a choice. If you don't trade for somebody with size on the wing who can play a 3-and-D player that can and shoot 40% or 38% from 3 to take pressure off of Donovan and Darius, then we can't just say, well, they didn't play well. Like, the context, the way the roster built, it still doesn't make any damn sense.
Well, that's the interesting part about the Cavs in general. Anytime we bring someone on and it's like, make it make sense. You got 2 bigs and then you have 2 small guards. This is not how you construct a roster. And no one's got a great answer outside of just, well, positionless basketball. You throw them out there and they're so talented, they find a way to make it work.
So that's, and I'm not trying to have a cop-out, because we're still going to try and do our darndest to evaluate these guys in the playoffs. But like, I think Darius, for the first time in 2 years, is healthy. I think he's confident. And I do think the system is going to alleviate some of the natural things that teams are going to try and do to take you out of your actions and take you out of your assignments. I fully, like, that doesn't answer everything. But if this team is still as constructed and you still have what you've had for 3 years and honestly longer than that, which is a glaring hole next to Darius and Donovan, then in the end, Darius can't be my biggest question mark. Like, in the end,
he still has to do his job. Yeah, I mean, I just can't put that at the feet of him.
If he averages 15 points a game, it's a problem. But if he averages 20 and struggles late in games, that's what's going to happen.
Okay, but you have an area where there's a problem then. And that's what I need to make sure we understand.
When we say a problem, what do we mean by that?
Like, well, you just said 15 is a problem.
Well, okay, but how can I? So, yes.
Like, I don't want to live in a world where I can only judge him when every situation is exactly perfect.
I don't want to say that. But the asterisk has to be there. If you're throwing them out there in the playoffs, knowing what that is, knowing what is favored in the playoffs, which is physicality, size, length, and shooting, especially on the defensive side, and knowing that the other teams in the East have that, if you're throwing them out there, it has to be a part of the assessment. We can't just go, well, it doesn't matter.
Right, but if he's an all-star the way that he is probably going to be an all-star this year, you have to be able to score.
Yeah, well, but the point is that because of the box score, because of the way things tighten up, you're not going to score 130 a night in the postseason.
No. Points come down in the postseason, for sure.
And so, like, even that, like, I think the standard for Darius, the paradigm has shifted so much with Darius. And I see it in how people, not across the board, but how some people talk about Darius as if he's some diminished asset or if he's like the forgotten Beetle here. Opposite.
I feel like people look at like Jared Allen, like he's the forgotten Beetle.
No. Well, okay. Yeah, to some degree. But Jared's not in the same conversation with the other three. The other three are incredibly well-rounded top 40 NBA players. Jared is a great defensive player. He is a really, really good starter on a championship team. He's not ever going to be one of your three best players on a championship team. The other three guys can be.
Right, but we dub at the core four for a reason. Like, if we're talking about that, yeah, I don't know.
Because he's made the All-Star, and he's...
I don't know.
He does stuff with smart people things. No.
Smart people things.
That's an insider knowledge there. Like, there has to be some acknowledgement from us going into the playoffs. It can't just be, if you don't score 30 points a night, you're a bum.
I don't know. I kind of look at it like, you know, we have quarterbacks, and certain quarterbacks, it's like, well, he doesn't have a great receiver, so we can't look at it the same way. And then there's Mahomes, and then there's Allen. You know what I mean? And so are we looking at Darius like he's just, we can't look at him in any sort of light because the situation isn't 100%?
No, but there has to be something in between the extremes. And unfortunately with Darius, it seems like the only conversation we're having are he's an all-star, he's a scrub. Now, that has diminished some.
I feel like he's done a lot to, yeah, I feel like he's done a lot to kind of erase that conversation.
And I don't think he's getting the credit he should. Like, the overreaction in the Rockets game was ridiculous. That showed me that Darius still has not undone whatever people's frustration was from last year. I'm not saying that they're still holding like this huge grudge, but that was a massive overreaction. That any player in the NBA, Donovan's had those nights. Evans had every play. LeBron had those nights.
I feel like he's chipped away a lot at it. I don't know. Maybe we're just looking at different circles because I feel like he's made a lot of inroads. Yeah, the playoff questions still remain. They're going to remain. They should remain. But I think he's done a lot to erase that stuff.
216-474-0092. Is Darius your biggest question mark about the Cavs in the playoffs? Let's go with Eric in Cam's Corner. Welcome to the show there, buddy.
Hey, guys. Good evening. How you doing? JP, I haven't talked to you since your overtime show, man. Congratulations on getting this spot, man. Good job for you, man.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely, man. Listen, Nick, I believe Darius is not he's flirting with the 40, 50, 90 this year. Not many players are able to do that, right? And you mentioned Lonzo Ball or like Lonzo Ball, not Lonzo Ball, but LaMelo Ball about the All-Star. And we faced him a couple times this year. This dude was shooting 25, 30 times a night to get 30. That ain't All-Star material to me. That's chucking up shots on a bad team. So that's not winning basketball. I don't understand why there's a problem in this league rewarding players and teams who win.
Because real quick, because I have the answer. It's because people, national folks, do not pay attention to the Cavs the way they should. They say they do, but if you've watched the Cavs, you should know. I mean, you can see the impact in what Darius does. I don't think they watch the Cavs.
No question, Nick. I mean, and, you know, I'm just looking. You know, last year I called y'all, and it was like he was helter-skelter. He's cool, calm, under control, under speed. Like, he's playing very, very well. And I think this is more who Darius Garland is versus what he appeared to be last year dealing with that injury. And, like, listen, he's shooting the ball so well. And I don't think anybody complained when Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas was winning championships at 6'1 and 6'3 back in the day, where it was allegedly a more physical game than it is today.
Eric, who did they have around him, though? Like, they had Vinnie Johnson. They had Dennis Rodman. They had Rick Mahorn and Bill Laimbeer. And by the way, their physical style of play helped offset some of the undersized guard tendencies or the way people might throw physicality at Isaiah and Joe.
And I get that, Nick, 100%, right? But this ain't that NBA, man. And if Ty Jerome ain't Vinnie Johnson on the Cavs, I don't know who is, because he come in that microwave as far as I'm concerned, right? So, look, the Cavs have enough, man, for it not to just all fall on Darius if they don't have a championship-quality season this year. So, look, Mark Price went to the Alamo Dome, shot 4-for-8 in the game before. He don't never do that. So players miss free throws. And he's the all-time leader at the thing, him and Steph Curry. So, like, I can't jump on this, jump on Darius's back because he missed a couple of free throws. He'll bounce back and play better tonight. I'm quite sure he will.
Eric?
So, yes, he's an all-star, and he should help the Cavaliers make the NBA Finals this year. Absolutely.
Eric, we got to run, buddy. Thank you very much. I don't hear enough of that. Like, I think that is the absolutism after 6 years we should have with Darius. But I don't know. And it really is like, because you made the Bosch comparison earlier, and it's so prescient because when you have a team with expectations, there's always a pain point. And JB Bickerstaff was that for a lot of people. He certainly was for me.
Yeah.
It's going, if they don't reach the level that some people think they should, or what any individual out there thinks, I think they should reach the Eastern Conference Finals. Are you right there with me?
Yeah, that's okay. The expectation now.
There are people out there thinking NBA Finals because of the record.
No, and Conference Finals, it's a big win.
Yeah, but there are going to be people who, they're going to find a way to weaponize the lack of what they think is success for this team, and I think it will come down on Darius. I think he is the logical guy that people go, well, Darius was the problem. Look at his numbers. And they're going to point to, well, he was a 40, 50, 90 guy in the regular season. He wasn't that in the postseason. He shouldn't be. Very few players can do that in the regular season, let alone then match that in the postseason. I don't want to make it like everybody hates Darius. That's not what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying Donovan is a blank slate and is blame free.
No, I
so is that, Evan, and I don't think Darius is.
I don't know that Donovan will be blame free though. I mean, the man's never made it out of the second round. Okay, I think when if they have a series and you fall that short of expectations, I think the Donovan can't do it in the postseason narrative will reignite itself.
Is Darius your biggest question mark about the Cavs in the playoffs? It's not Kenny Atkinson. It's not an individual player. Maybe Jarrett staying healthy. Actually, you know what? No, I know. I know who my biggest question mark is, and it's the guy who doesn't get questioned for the Cavaliers because he is your great hope. That's coming up at 6:25 on 92.3 The Fan. I don't think Darius should be the biggest question going forward.
Okay, based off of your tease. Can I make the suggestion that you're going with Evan Mobley then?
Yeah, it should be.
All right, I explain yourself.
Because if...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Explain yourself.
I mean, it's not as demonstrative as yesterday. What were we talking about? And you're just like, why? And I was like, okay. I guess this is how this works.
That's fair. Because I think he's, I want to see he's for real, because there's nothing that I can point to and say for the three point shooting and three attempts per game, for the authority when the ball moves through him. Like, those are the things that I think are so much more important to overshooting the expectations this year, or at least meeting them. Him being the guy he's been through the regular season, offensively and defensively, I think is more important than any step back. And by the way, more important and more attainable with how the Cavs are built than anything to do with Darius and Darius's upside this year.
Yeah, it is interesting. We do treat Evan Mobley with kid gloves.
Yeah, yeah. And this is, and listen.
And you got paid. Once you get paid, I don't have to treat you with kid gloves the same way.
Well, and it's not.
That is an important part of
me,
this for me.
It's not the pay. For me, it's the, I've seen you do it now. So I've seen you do this in the regular season and play with a different level of aggression and have a different level of confidence shooting. So now I want to see that in the playoffs. Because if you can add that, like Evan Mobley shooting 40% on three, even on three or four attempts a game, that's a way to take some of the pressure off those small guards.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that number to come down, by the way. I mean, that's just so high. It's just such a high number.
But what about it? Is there something you see with his mechanics?
It'd be an all-time high number. Do I think Evan Mobley is now Steph Curry? I don't. I think it's kind of like
three
seeing
points. It's just three attempts per game. Why I think it's attainable.
Yeah, it's
what makes Steph historic.
What makes Steph historic is 13 attempts per game, 13, obviously. Yeah. But it's still such a high number for someone that last year was at 25%.
So,
it's an amazing jump.
So we have not talked as much about the Chiefs-Bills game since the 4 o'clock hour. I think we talked a lot about who Cleveland is rooting for. I think one of the most fascinating undercurrents of the Chiefs-Bills conversation is that for a really long time, people rooted for the Chiefs because of Travis Kelce, because he's from here. And man, I just do not feel that anymore. Is it that he's got the three Super Bowls?
He's already won life, I feel like, is the sentiment, right? He's won as many Super Bowls as anyone. Like, at this point, you're just getting greedy is all you're doing. Is there a difference for him between three Super Bowls and four Super Bowls at the end of the day? He's done it. He's accomplished it. And the Taylor Swift stuff, he's got that already locked up and ready to go, basically. It doesn't add anything to Travis Kelce if he's a four-time Super Bowl winner or three-time Super Bowl winner.
I think every Super Bowl matters, I would say.
No, when it comes to how we view him, us locally here, I don't think it changes the slightest thing at all.
Well, I think it actually changes. I do think there's a point where when we see local kid does well, there is a cap to that. There is a cap. It's almost like, okay, Mahomes is a really nice guy, but enough is enough. There is a greatness cap, and really what I think it is it's not that we don't care if Travis gets his fourth Super Bowl and is a part of a three-peat. I think it's that the dislike of Mahomes in the embellishment or the Chiefs' success has just finally overtaken, like, the overwhelming amount of success, the inevitable feel of the Chiefs has overtaken the love that there is for Travis Kelce. It doesn't mean people don't love him anymore. It's just they hate the Chiefs more than they love Travis Kelce.
I just look at it like win or lose. It doesn't. My opinion of Travis Kelce is not going to change in the slightest bit. Now, I do think from an NFL perspective, maybe it's different because he's still trying to be the greatest tight end of all time. So maybe you go from 3 to 4. Maybe it helps shape that. Maybe he's going to play another season to help shape that, to catch up with Gronk, in my opinion. But I'm trying to get in your head. When it comes to how we assess Travis Kelce here.
I'm watching it from a different lens. I'm watching it from there's a noticeable step back. He is he's not the physically dominant guy. He doesn't move the same way.
We talk about people that turn it on, though. I mean, last week he had 2 impactful plays before the half. I believe he had over 100 yards in that game.
You know who he is now?
That was peak Travis Kelce one week.
He is the crafty veteran now. Like, when I watch him, I mean, there were times where linebackers could not cover him, right? So you had linebackers who were big enough to get physical with him, but not fast enough. And then you put a safety on him, and he just out-physical him, right?
Yeah.
And you could move him around like a chess piece. And they still do those things, by the way. But who he is now is he's every tight end at the end of their career, where he just knows where the soft spot in the defense is going to be, and he just goes there.
Yeah, and Mahomes, they have that connection where they're on the same page always.
That's not the guy he was 2 years ago. I don't know if it was the guy he was last year.
Yeah,
I think that the hits, I think everything's bottling up, and I'm watching him like, I wouldn't be surprised if this was his last Super Bowl or his last year.
Yeah, Alex Gold was on, he was on Ken and Anthony earlier in the week, and Alex had hinted towards that.
Congrats to Ken and Anthony.
Yeah, a midday show host in Kansas City was like, this is probably his last Super Bowl if they win it.
Yeah.
And so clearly there's a sentiment there, and I wonder if it's just because he's had to treat this season, he started to do it last year, but he had to treat this season the same way that Gronk did at the very end, although Gronk took it to an extreme. Gronk just didn't play the first 8 weeks of the season and then showed up to be healthy enough, whereas Kelce just kind of existed but didn't go nearly as hard as you saw him last week.
Can you believe he is 35?
I can. He's one of those people that we have the same age. And so it just always sticks with me. Taylor Swift, also one of those people as well. You have that same thing as well.
People have said Peter Lynn, Kelce.
No, but it's Swift. Like always in your mind, the people that are your same age. Like, do you have that? You're 38 or 39? I never remember.
39.
You're 39.
Yeah.
So there is somebody in 86 that was born that
85.
You know. 85. Sorry. I did the 86, 87, 88, 99. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I asked you that question, and I'm like, I think you told me 86 one time before. 85. There's somebody that was born in 85 that you know of that just because you were also born in 85, right?
Oh, it's for my birthday.
Is it bad that I honestly can't think of anybody right now?
There's not an athlete, anybody that way?
No, it's more September 23rd, which even now I'm trying to think, and I think I'm blanking. Springsteen, maybe? I think Springsteen was born. You know what? I think.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, everyone knows their. Or some people know. I guess know their birthdays. Mac, you got one?
Yeah. No, Miles and I are 3 weeks apart birthday wise.
Yeah, so you always know Miles. You always know his age because of that.
Yeah, Miles Garrett.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What was that?
Miles Straw? Did you think that's who I was throwing out?
Well, no, I just don't ever put you and Miles Garrett in the same conversation.
This guy says everyone's going to follow Miles to another team.
Yeah, one of us got the superhero serum, the other one didn't.
Well, I didn't, Miles Straw made more sense.
Jake, is there anybody? What year were you born, Jake?
2001.
Is there an athlete that you're like, this guy also 2001?
Yeah, is there like an event that happened in 2001?
Oh, please.
That's like synonymous. Oh,
we're going there, Nick.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about like landmark things.
He'll never forget the anniversary number, will he?
My sister-in-law, her birthday's 9/11.
Oh, that's awful.
And she says every year, it's the same. I hear every, I just don't think I can celebrate my birthday. And I'm like, it's okay. Like,
I would be open to moving my birth date if that was the date. I would go either the 10th or the 12th. And
why wouldn't you move it up farther?
What do you mean moving up? I'm not changing it in like 6 months. I'm getting in the ballpark.
You just said move your birthday. Yeah, it wasn't a ridiculous thing in the first place.
That's true, but I'd move it. I would make it the 10th or the 12th. I might even just tell people that move it forward, if I'm being honest.
No, if you're going to move it, pick a cool birthday.
Well, what's the cool birthday?
Well, I would say Christmas. It's not, because then you just don't get the same presents. 4th of July.
September 10th is pretty awesome for many reasons, right?
Why?
It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's good weather outside. You can still golf. We have football on. Like,
people spend half the day thinking about the next day. People start posting, never forget, 9/10. You still get it 9/12 because people forget about it. Oh, day late. R.I.P.
People post on 9/10?
Dude, all week, yeah. Because that's a point she's made, and she's 100% right.
I'm not going to argue how long we celebrate, how long we recognize 9/11 for.
I never forget.
Do you want to move in a month? All right, I'm done with the convo.
Some of us, John.
I can't do it.
Don't get fired on a Friday.
Some of us never forget, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm just done with the convo.
216.
How about that birthday, Matt?
474.
Oh, it's for my birthday.
Same 3 weeks within Myles Garrett. How about that?
Same guy.
How about
People
that?
People have been saying that.
How about that?
Just your Chiefs hate to your love of Travis Kelce, in case we missed it, next on 92.3 The Fan.